All right. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Thank you. All right. You don't know how to respond to that, do you? Because you can't say Happy Mother's Day back to me because I'm not a mom. But anyway, thanks for the thanks. Meant a lot to me. Good. hey, you know, I want to start out Mother's Day like this. I recognize that while we want to really honor moms today, recognize that, that today really is a hard day for a lot of people. And I don't want you to know that we hear you, and we know that for some moms, like, Mother's Day was one of the hardest days of the year because maybe you didn't have that relationship with your mom that you always wished that you would have, or maybe you wish that you'd become a mom, and maybe God hasn't blessed you with that blessing yet, or maybe even recently, maybe you lost your mom, and this could be a really hard day for you. And so I just want you to know that we love you, and we have compassion on your situation. And I actually want to begin by praying for you, and then I'm sure you'll understand that we're going to move on from there and really honor moms today. So let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we thank you for the blessing of mothers and how much we learn and how much we catch from mom. And Lord, we pray that moms would truly be honored here today. Lord, I want to pray for those that come into this room, and this is a really hard day, maybe even a hard service for them, Lord, as they think about their situation. And God, I pray that you would give them a sense of comfort, a sense of peace, Lord, that you would bless them with that. Father, I pray for all the moms that are here in this room. Lord, thank you for bringing so many moms here today. Lord, I pray that they would truly feel valued and honored for all that they do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all in agreement said, amen. Okay. Well, moms, we want to say thank you so much for all the things that you do. I thought that video really portrayed it well. You know, the nurse, the you know, the whatever, cheerleader, and the, you know, the fireman, and, you know, all these things that you do as moms, all the diaper changing, laundry cleaning, floor mopping, day-to-day work that you do as a mom. We just want to say thank you. And you know, I hope that you feel, when you leave here today, that you really feel valued for all of those things that you do. And even more so, it's my hope that you'd understand that you'd leave here with a renewed sense that what you do, even though, and I know how moms feel a little bit because I'm married to a mom and I have a mom. And so I know that, you know, when you go through the day, right, that there's lots of times you go, man, am I making any difference? Am I making any headway here? Or am I just running from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next? And I hope that you leave here with a renewed sense that what you do as a mom is deeply significant and deeply spiritual. And so I hope that you leave here truly, truly honored as moms. Some of the things that you probably already know about moms. So I just want to give you some statistics right at the front, just so you moms know that we really do love you. We really do are trying our best to say thank you to you. And Mother's Day is a big deal for us. I don't know, but you probably know some of these things already. Like, for instance, it's the peak day of the year for long distance calling, right? We all call mom. If you call mom today, if you didn't call mom, okay? And then it's also the peak day of the year for restaurants. You know, I want to take mom out to lunch. And those are some of the things that we already know. But here's some facts that you might not know about Mother's Day. We spend a total of $15.8 billion a year in the United States for Mother's Day. Spend $150 million a year for Mother's Day greeting cards just to say thanks, mom. And we spend about $139 per mom in the U.S. for gifts for mom for Mother's Day. We spend a lot of money trying to say, mom, we love you. We thank you. As a matter of fact, people spend 86% of people say that they spend more money on mom for Mother's Day than they do for dad on Father's Day, which I think is, no, don't clap for that. That's totally uncool. That's so... Right. And here's one. 61% of people actually spend more, and this catches, more on mom for Mother's Day than they do for their sweetheart on Valentine's Day. Yeah, but we love you, mom. We do. We thank you. We really just want to keep saying that we love you, mom. Here's some things that you might not know, might not have guessed. Who do you think spends more on mom for Mother's Day, sons or daughters? Okay. You said daughters, but okay. How many of you think sons? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay. And how many of you think daughters? Okay, the sons have it. And you're right, the sons have it, right? And matter of fact, two to one, sons are more likely to bring their mom to a Mother's Day lunch than their sister siblings. And men spend 60% more on Mother's Day gifts. So, hey, all I'm saying is think about it next time you shop for dad on Father's Day. That's all I'm saying. It's pretty much my whole agenda here today. But, you know, since moms, you know, moms are so giving, right, and so selfless that all this talk about, you know, spending for them, I know how moms respond. 98% of moms say it's really not about the gift. It's about you know, just the time with their child. And 98% of the same 98%, they'd rather spend more time with their child on Mother's Day than to get a gift. And that's just a beautiful statistic. But I was thinking this week, I'd hate my mom to be part of the 2% of that statistic. What did you? Like, just say, here's a 20, happy Mother's Day. And Mother's Day, I don't know if you know this, but it's not just a U.S. thing. It's an international holiday. And there are actually 40 nations that recognize, man, we got to really honor moms. And so 40 nations in different ways at different times celebrate Mother's Day. As a matter of fact, in India, if you're from India, you know, the Indian moms, they get actually a 10-day festival in October. 10 days for moms. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Moms get an extra 9 days in India, which is great. The downside is you're in India. So, you know, not so good. It gets worse. This is one that freaked me out the most. In Yugoslavia, here's how they celebrate Mother's Day in Yugoslavia. Mom buys gifts for the kids, and then at night, the kids sneak into the bedroom, tie up mom to the bed, and demand that she tell them where the gifts are. It's like, when did the rednecks take over Yugoslavia? Did I miss that coup? Did that happen when I was that, like, what? What should we do for mom this year? Well, let's tie her up and make her give us stuff. There's your sign, right? So Mother's Day is a huge deal, right? I mean, moms, we truly love you. We want to say thank you. And it's right for us to honor you on Mother's Day. It's right. It's not just a good thing. It's a God thing. And God tells us to do this. So for instance, in Exodus, when God gives us, you know, his top 10 list, listen to what he says. Honor your father and your mother. He wants us to honor mom. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your dad, honor your mom. It's not, see, when we, this call to really honor our mothers, it's not just a good thing. Like we ought to, it's really a God thing. That God wants us to honor our moms, not just for the position that they have, but really for who they are and the intensely significant spiritual role that they play in our lives. So God says, listen, it's right for you to honor your mom. And so in a sense, whenever we honor moms, we're also honoring God. We're doing what God has called us to do. So today, mom, we want to honor you. And we're going to honor you in a couple specific ways. And the first thing I really want to honor moms for is just your faithfulness in being a mom. Again, the video I think showed it really well. Just like being a mom is this exhausting job. And it's just endless, right? I mean, like you never stop working. It's matter of fact, I don't know if you read the article in the paper this week where they did a market value of a mom. And says that, right, like you work 94.4 hours a week as a mom, which, come on, you work more than that. And guess what the market value is? Just from a sure, you know, purely secular standpoint, the market value of a mom. You read the article. Good. Yeah. $117,000 a year. Pretty good coin for you, mom, right? So how many of you think that's a gross undervaluation? Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't put your hand up, you're in so much trouble. Next time, mom, you're thinking, oh man, I wonder if I'm making a difference. You're pulling down six figures, right? I mean, $117,000. Good job, mom. And we really, 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 really want to thank you for your faithfulness. And I want you to know that you're teaching us through your faithfulness. You're teaching us so much. It says this in scriptures about the teaching of a mom. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not, catch this, do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. And God tells us that our mother's teaching is something that's so important. We're not to forsake it. And the more we adhere to our mother's teaching, it'll be a treasure to us as her children. And you know, moms, it's not just when you sit little Johnny down and say, let me teach you a lesson, and here's this lesson, A, B equals C. It's not just that. Moms, it's the way that you live before us, faithfully doing all the things that moms do, that you teach us. So moms, like when you're running from thing to thing and you know, you've got the laundry basket in the hand and the car keys because you got to drive this person over here and the buzzer is going off and the dishes need to be and all these things. And but yet you see one of your kids and you just see, just you just sense that there's just this broken heart happening over here and you decide to put the things down and forget about the buzzer and go and sit down with that child and just listen and care for that child. You know what you're teaching that child? To love mercy. We catch it from you, you know? And when we mess up so bad, and we just think that, you know, you're gonna be so angry with us, but you choose to love us anyway, right? You know what you're teaching us? You're teaching us grace. My mom was so good at this. We've had a great visit here, and I come from six kids, and I was by no stretch of the imagination the good one, and man, I would do some stupid, just bad trouble, and my dad would get so angry with me, and then my mom, she would just kind of come up and she'd sit on the edge of my bed and just talk to me and love me, and it, you know, when I was a mess, and mom, you taught me grace. I caught that from you. She's an awesome mom, and you know, when you reached out to broken and hurting people in front of us, and when you corrected our selfishness and taught us to put other people before ourselves, you know what you were teaching us? To do justice. You're teaching us about what justice really was. We were catching it from you. And when you sat us down and said, hey, you know, let's pray about this, you know what you were teaching us? How to walk humbly with God. And when you stayed up late at night and you were helping us with our homework, or telling us a bedtime story, or cooling a fever, you were teaching us compassion. And we learned these things from you, Mom. And you know, so I just want you to know, Moms, when you're going through the day and you're feeling like, am I making any headway here? And I'm running from this thing to this thing, then I got to take care of this kid, and then there's this crying thing over here. What's going on? And I just want you to know, Moms, that we're watching the whole time. And through it all, we're catching it. And you're teaching us. And the scriptures tell us that your teaching, by how you live before us as a mom, your teaching is a treasure to us as your children. It's a garland. It's a chain that adorns our neck. And we thank you, Mom, for teaching us by your faithfulness. Throughout this service, I want you to hear the voice of several moms. And so I'm gonna have some moms come up, and really some moms that have demonstrated significant faithfulness here recently. We have a team of ladies that went to Africa just recently, came back just a couple of weeks ago, and several of them moms themselves, and had to take some huge steps of faith to cross an ocean, to go to another continent, to minister to some really hurting moms and children in the village of Chikudzlede in Malawi, Africa, the village that we've adopted. And would you please give a warm welcome to these ladies as they come on up. That's the borehole that we dug. Great, great trip. And this village of Chikudzlede has 900 orphans in it. And just this team. This is not the whole team. This is actually the majority of the team, though, here right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. About half the team that went. And Angel, could you just share a few bullet points of how God worked through this team while you were in Africa?
Yes. Hi. Happy Mother's Day to you guys. Well, first of all, as a team, we brought over $10,000 worth of medical supplies. And that was really great because they just have such limited access to supplies there and medications. We also got to deliver 4 babies, and that was really exciting. And we also cared for kids sick with malaria, kids that are HIV positive and malnourished. But the exciting part of it was visiting and just spending a couple days with our family in Chikudzlede. It was just an amazing experience. We got to learn from them and develop relationships with them. We were able to feed over 200 orphans that day at the feeding center that this church helped build. And I just felt so blessed to be there.
Great. Thank you, Angel, so much. Let's give this team a hand. Thank you very much, Angel. Okay. We're going to hear the stories of a couple of the moms that went here, and this is Carrie and Stephanie. And Carrie and Stephanie are going to share a little bit about the trip. And I guess first of all, Carrie, you know, the decision to really step out in faith and be a faithful mom sometimes isn't the easiest decision to make, because you're thinking, it's a scary step, and is this even the right thing for my family? And so I know for you in particular, that step of faith to actually go and minister in Africa was a little bit of a scary step. Maybe you can tell the folks a little bit about that.
Yeah, my story was a little bit different in that I didn't want to go to Africa, and I didn't want to be a nurse there for sure. But Pastor Scott Chasen, I think, knew before I did that I needed to be on this team, and he had repeated every Sunday that we would see each other that, well, it'll be great to have you on my team. And I kept telling him all the reasons why that wasn't possible with three little tiny children and a career and a family, that I just couldn't leave my family. And then came up a couple months later. This was a couple months in process that I laid in bed one night and I was fast asleep. And just as clear as day, I heard a very firm and assertive voice say, "Do you trust me?" And it woke me out of a dead sleep. And it alarmed me and got my attention. And I thought, well, I'm just dreaming. And I tried to roll over and go back to sleep. And that didn't work, of course. And then I got up to get a drink and wash my face and brush my teeth, anything possible. Went back to bed. And this continued for over 2 hours. I finally ended up with earplugs in my ears and a pillow over my head like this, trying to quiet the voice. And at the end of it, I finally said, "Okay, God, I hear you. I trust you. And what is it that you want me to do?" And it, just about as soon as I asked the questions out loud, I knew I had to go to Africa. I think I knew anyway, I just didn't want to go. So some time passed, and I didn't commit to the trip because I was waiting for God to show me how my children were going to be cared for, until I realized I needed to step out in faith, and I brought the check, my deposit check to Scott and said, "Okay, I'm in. I don't know what I'm going to do with my family, but I'm in." And then some more time passed, and we had a service that you preached about our Africa team, and how the message was "Go send or pray," as on our T-shirts here. And we went home that day after the message, and my parents had been there that day, and my mom and dad had heard the message and called me back and said, "We can't go, but we're going to send you by taking care of your children." And in my mind, it was great in theory, but my my mom has a terminal illness, and there are days she can't get out of bed. So I just thought, well, okay, I guess I'll go along with it. And my dad volunteered to help until God called him to come on the trip too. So I'm thinking, this is a good plan. God, take my able-bodied parent with you, with me, and leave my mom. And then a short time passed again, and God called my younger brother and his wife from Michigan to come and live here to be closer to the family. And it's that sister-in-law that then stepped in and took over helping my mom and raising my children while I was gone. So I think every hurdle that was put in the way, God plowed over and said, "Just trust me, and I can make it happen for you." And so that I learned some very big lessons through that process of, you know, stepping out in faith and just watching and seeing what God would do for my family.
Thank you so much, Carrie. And can you tell us just a thing or two that God taught you while you were there as a mom in Africa?
Yeah, there are a lot of lessons to learn when you go to a third world country like this, where you deal with people who have nothing. But I think one of the biggest things that many of us took back, and me in particular, was that they're so grateful to have so little. They'll be thankful for the clothes on their back and one feeding a day. And so I came back to this affluent Gilbert, where we have everything at our fingertips, and it spoke to the consumer in me. And I'm the kind of person that can walk through the aisles of Target, and especially the dollar spot, and fill my cart to the heaping, and confuse what a want is versus what a need is. And so I think the biggest thing is that God has really shown me that it's my job as a leader of my household to be faithful with our finances, and that every single little thing I put in my cart to take home that I don't need is one less meal that some child in Africa may receive, and it's one less little girl that might be saved from Fiji. So it's changing the way I allocate what we are given by God, and my all-in pledge is a little different now. But
thank you so much, Carrie. Let's give Carrie a big hand. So, Stephanie, this team, you go into this place and have been there. It feels like, in some sense, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it feels like you're sort of stepping into this cesspool. There's so much disease and so much, really even the smell of death in the air so many times. And yet in the midst of this chaos, there's these glimmers of hope, and you see these women in the midst of this chaotic situation that are being so faithful as moms. And so maybe you could tell the story of one of those moms and her faithfulness as a mom in Africa.
Well, thank you very much for having me today. All of these glimmers of hope really spoke to our hearts, and it's hard for us to come back and convey that to speak to your heart, but they really laid something on and changed us all. Burita was one of the moms that we met. This is Burita on the screen and her four children. And Burita would wake up in the morning before dawn and go out and build a fire for her family. She'd gather the firewood, build the fire, and around dawn then she would strap her 18-month-old, as you see here, to her back and walk 15 minutes to the borehole that SCC created for this community and fill it up, a 40-pound bucket of water, and put this on her head and carry it back. Very difficult task, I might add. Very heavy. We couldn't carry the empty buckets on our head. And she would get back and then prepare her family. She would send her children out to school. They would walk 2 miles to school, and her husband out to the fields to care for their crop, their food supply. And then she would clean her house and care for her mother, and then she would also join her husband in the field for about 3 hours and help him care for this crop. At that time, the entire family would go back to the home, and she would prepare their only meal for the day, which is very difficult for us to even comprehend. She would prepare this meal, taking about 2 hours to do that. They would eat and then rest as a family, and then her husband would go back out to the crops to work some more. And she would leave her two middle children here with her mother and take her smallest baby there on her back and her oldest son and go to the feeding center that SSCC also provided for this community, and she would volunteer there. Mm. It was just an amazing step of faith that she, you know, chose to work and to give back when she had so little. And she was so generous, as all of these people were, and she would go and work, and she and her oldest son would teach literacy classes to the orphans and widows. And I tell you, her story was just, I know we've been studying Micah 6:8, and it was just a huge representation of her, you know, doing justice and loving mercy and walking humbly with God. It was just amazing.
Right on. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it sounds like whether you're in America, Africa, Afghanistan, wherever you're at, being a mom is such a hard job, right? And it requires so much faithfulness day in and day out. And we want to say to moms and you moms and moms out there that we just thank you so much for being faithful day in and day out. And we're catching it from you. You're teaching us so much. And as you live before us faithfully, that teaching that we're catching from you, God says, is a garland. It adorns our neck. It's a treasure to us. And so thank you so much for your faithfulness. Let's give these moms a hand. All right. And you know, one of the things that, I told Pastor Kerry I'd pimp some product for him. And so here's the thing I don't want to forget. Yeah. We have a student ministry team. I think there's over a dozen students that are going, high school students that are going to Africa, the same people group, Chikuz Lire, to bless and to minister to them. They've got these t-shirts out there, says Love Wins and little plane going to Africa, and just a spot in Malawi that we're going to be going to. And every time you buy one of those t-shirts, they're going to be right out there. The money goes towards sending some of the students here to Africa to minister to them. So there you go, Carrie. Also, hey, one other thing I want you to know. Remember, another thing that we're doing to bless moms is the whole rescuing these young girls who are actually, they come in, their moms, they're 13 years old and, you know, that kind of thing, and blessing them, rescuing them out of the sex trade industry and building homes for them in this village that we're building. And so here's a photo of homes. The team just got back. Ray, when did you get back? You got back last night. Okay, everyone got home safely? All right, there you go. And there's 10. Good, very good. Here's a picture of the two homes that they built while they were out there. So moms, there'll be room for more moms to come on in and be blessed. So let's thank that team that just got that. All right. Hey, another thing that moms teach us, you teach us through your faithfulness. You also teach us uniquely. I think moms just have this unique God-given ability to teach us how to love. And we want to say to you moms, thank you so much for loving us so much. And I know personally, mom, I'm so glad I didn't have to learn how to love from dad. I mean, I love dad, you know, I love my dad and he loved me and you know, good things there. And he taught me important things that dads teach sons, right? He taught me how to tackle. He taught me how to wrestle. He taught me how to spit and whistle and, you know, all those kinds of things that dads teach their boys. That's what my dad taught me. But you know what? I where I caught how to love from? My mom right here. She taught me how to love by the way that she lived before me. And you know what I think is really cool? When God wants to communicate to people how much he loves us, it's sort of like he scans the planet and goes, what illustration can I use so people will understand how much I love them? Oh, there it is. It's a mom and how she comforts and loves her child. That's the illustration I'm going to use. God chooses that illustration to communicate to us how much he loves us. So it says this in Isaiah chapter 66. This is God speaking. As a mother comforts her child, so this loving care of a mother for a child, as a mother comforts her child, so will I, this is God, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Do you see what God is doing? He's trying to explain how he's going to comfort and just give this loving care to his people. And say, so what illustration can I use to make sure that the people understand how much I'm going to comfort and just give them this loving care? There it is. It's the love of a mother. That's the illustration I'm going to use. And what a tribute it is to moms that God would actually choose you, mom, to explain his love for the world. I mean, it's as if God is scanning the world and he's looking at how a mom loves her children, and even he admires it. And it was the same thing with the apostles. When the apostles wanted to communicate to the church how much love they had for this church, you know, and they poured themselves into the church and how much they just wanted to tell them how much they love them. They're like, so what illustration should we use? Oh, the way a mother gently loves her child. So it says this in 1 Thessalonians. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. Now, how can we explain that gentle, loving care among you? Oh, yeah, here it is. Like a mother caring for her little child. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. You understand, the apostles are like, oh, we just love the church so much. It's so dear to us. We want you to know how much we love you. And so catch this. It's just like how a mother loves her child. The apostles understand that this is just a beautiful, moms, the way that you love, it teaches us, it teaches the rest of the world how to love. And, you know, just through the way that you, through the way, moms, every time that you held us when we were crying, you were teaching us how to love. And every time that you believed in us, right? When others didn't, and mom, when you'd come up to my room and you just kind of comfort me when things were going bad, you just taught me how to love. And when people don't believe in your child, but you stand by your child and you believe and you support your child and you stand by them and you're teaching your children what love is. You know, and every time you wake up early or stay up late with them and just help and just reach out to them and just that you're there for them and you're cheering them on and whatever they do, moms, you're teaching us, you're really teaching us how to love and moms, you teach the world really what love is and we want to thank you so much, moms, that when you're going through your day, and I know, moms, that you're running from thing to thing to thing, and am I making any difference? Am I making any headway? And I would want you to hear us. We're catching it, moms. You're teaching us how to love. And the scriptures say that love that even God uses as an illustration to describe his love, that love and that teaching is a chain that adorns our neck. It's a beautiful thing for us. And so I want you to hear a couple stories of a mother's love. And so I'm going to ask two people to come on up, two very special people, my mom and Heather Andrew. Would you please come on up? Let's give them a big hand as they come forward. There you go. Hi, Heather. Good to see you. All right. So, Heather, we're going to start with you. And I don't know about you, but I think our worship leader is such a hunk. I do.
Smoking.
If you're wondering what kind of church you're in, this is Patrick Andrew's wife, Heather. And you've been married. How long have you been married now?
A year and a half.
Okay, very good. And now you know that you know every mom's journey to becoming a mom is different, you know, and sometimes the journey isn't what you expected or asked for. And Heather's journey to becoming a mom is really a unique journey. And maybe, Heather, you could share a little bit about that journey to becoming a mom.
All right. I've been in Arizona for about 8 years. And since I've been here, my relationship with the Lord has just grown immensely. And as I was first starting, just really getting into scripture and diving in, a verse in Isaiah really just kept coming up and just speaking to my heart. I wasn't exactly sure what it meant at the time, but it was Isaiah 54:1. And it says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." Well, I was in my late 20s and single, and I didn't date for 2 years before I met Patrick. And I, you know, so I thought, well, maybe I'll never get married. And this wonderful woman mentors me. She's a mother of three. And she's like, you know, I don't think that that's right. And I said, well, maybe I'll never have children. She said, no, I don't think that that's right either. And I said, okay, whatever. God again kept bringing this verse to me, and I didn't know what it meant. And so we fast forward to the end of 2005, and I was seriously praying about going into the mission field full time, and just praying a lot. And in January of 2006, I went to India, and I'm a hygienist, so it was a medical dental mission. And when I came back from there, I had plans to go to Scotland, but that was a music ministry trip, and I have no musical gifts at all, and I thought, I'm not going on that, but I really felt God's leading to go, and taking a step of faith, I committed to the trip, and spending a lot of time in prayer, what am I going to be doing there, and the verse, Psalm 113, verse 9, kept coming, and it says, "He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children." And again, still single, not dating, going to Scotland on a music mission trip. I had no idea what the meaning of this was. And God led me to visit another church one Sunday. And I went in, and there was a children's program going on. And I was really irritated because I just wanted to be fed, you know. I'm like, God, speak to me. And the verse that the kids were singing was Psalm 113, verse 9. And the next week, I left for Scotland, and that's where I met Patrick, and he has two children. Mm-hmm. And so that was April of 2006, and then November of 2006, we were married.
So,
and that's became great. The stepmother of two children.
Absolutely. And maybe you have a little bit of news that some people might not know.
Yes. Well, I had planned on going to Africa with these ladies, and then I found out I was pregnant. So we're 5 months pregnant.
So what an amazing journey. I mean, you go from this point of, you were 34 at the time where...
When I got married, yes.
Yeah, so 34. And when you sense that God has this promise for you of being a mom, and yet no idea of exactly how that's going to happen. And then within a two-year period... You're married and a mother soon to be of three, and what an incredible blessing. Can you maybe just tell us a little bit more about that and your love for your children?
There's really no words to describe it other than just a tremendous blessing from God. I remember the first time that, gosh, three services so far. Just, you know, they're beautiful children, and seeing their faces at my doorstep and meeting them for the first time, and just the love that just spilled out from my heart can only be explained that it's been God-given, and receiving the love back from them, too, being our relationship was so quick, and we are a step-family, so we definitely have our trials and our days, but in those days, I think I'd rather be at an orphanage in India, but no, it's been a tremendous blessing. And now having a child of our own, the desires are the same that Olivia and Everett and our baby would just come to know the Lord fully and love and desire to serve him.
Yeah. Is it any wonder why God points to the love of a mother to describe his love for his people? It's just so obvious, isn't it? And Thank you, Heather. Let's give Heather a hand. Thank you so much, Heather. And this is my mom. I love my mom so much. And I do. I love you so much.
I love you too.
Yeah. And she is such a fantastic mom. One day, I'm going to take about 10 minutes out of a service and really do a condensed version of her story. She has the most amazing story of any person I've ever met. Just this unbelievable story of her life from extreme poverty through depression, growing up not even speaking English at first, and just in a very unusual set of circumstances, and how God was so faithful to her. And I'm going to share that story sometime, but I don't have time today. But she raised 6 kids, and I'm clearly the most special of those, and so I'm sure she'll bring that out. But can you tell just maybe the names of each one of the kids and one thing that God has given you a love for each one of those children? If you need to do more than one for me, people will understand.
Yeah, I'll try.
Yeah.
Well, the first one is Sheila, and Sheila is the, of course, being the firstborn. She has a role model to really, you know, show to the other children, and she has done that very well. She's an extremely generous person and is always in charge of all the family reunions. She has the biggest house, so everybody goes there for family reunions. Suzanne is she's a single mom now, and she is a very dedicated mom, and I really admire that about her. And Jay was born with a smile on his face and wearing a 3-piece suit and carrying a briefcase. And it was a really tough... Yeah. And Beth was she's the arranger for everybody. She coordinates things. She coordinated Mark and Kay's wedding. It was kind of a quick thing because Daddy was dying, and they wanted to be sure that Daddy was alive, and so we moved your wedding up, and she coordinated all of it within a short length of time. And then there was Mark.
Yes.
Mark.
Tell me more.
Mark is probably the most tender-hearted of all my children. He's very, very sensitive, and we have always had that connection that he knows. He always knew when you were growing up that there was a tenderness between us that we just shared. Mm-hmm. And so... And I love him so much. And I, you know what? I thank you for loving him. Mm-hmm. I really do thank you for loving him. And there was Brian. Brian is the youngest one. And Brian, when he was about 16 years old, started attending a Young Life ministry and brought home a Bible. And that was a threat to me because I never owned a Bible. I never knew anybody who did. And he began to follow me around the house quoting scripture to me. And frankly, he was getting on my nerves. And, and he was saying things like, we were all sinners. And I thought, you know, hello, I have 6 children. I don't have time to sin. And so... But I began to read the Bible and... I realized I was a sinner, and on February 14th of 1985, I asked the Lord Jesus into my life, so I'm very grateful.
That's good. Yeah. So, just between you and me, we won't tell anybody, which one of them do you love the most?
You know, one time when I was getting ready to go to church, and it was always bedlam trying to get 6 children ready and trying to keep them clean until you leave for church, and I said to Mark, who had a tendency to go out and mess himself up somehow, and I said to him, now you sit right here and don't move, and now it's my turn to get dressed. And about 5 minutes later, I hear, Mom, Mom, and I said, Mark, I told you not to bother me. I'm trying to get dressed. He said, okay. But Brian just put a penny up his nose.
No. No. That was probably Jay.
No, that was you. Yeah. Jay was busy counting his papers.
Yeah. So reflecting back on like, you know, you raised six kids. You did such an awesome job. And reflecting back on that, what might be some lessons about loving your children that you might impart to young moms here?
I really struggle with that because I think that young people today are better at parenting than my generation was, because we were very much into disciplining. And I just feel that they spend more time with children, understanding children, than my generation did. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quick to give advice to the young people about this. But I do know one thing, I think two things, is I asked my children after they were grown, I asked my daughters, you know, what do you remember about when you were growing up that made a difference in your life? And nobody mentioned the shiny floors or the lace curtains or, you know, the cleanliness of the house. They all talked about the walks that we took in the rain and the times we went to the pool and the fun things that we did. That was far more important to them than a clean house. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that no matter what any of my children would do, there is nothing that would ever alienate me from them. Mm-hmm. Because they're much too precious. They're a gift from the Lord. And I thank him for them. And I love my son, Mark.
I love you, too. Well, Mom, I know I speak for all of the kids. We just love you so much. You've been such a great, great mom to us. And I have a little special Mother's Day card that we put together for you.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
Love you, Mom. Thank you so much. Thank you, Heather, for sharing your story. It's a wonderful story. All right, let's give them one more hand. Moms, we want to thank you for just loving us so much. Isn't it true that moms teach the world how to love? Isn't that great? And just the way that you live before us, and we just really want to thank you so much for loving us so much. It's something that we catch from you, and that teaching, it's a treasure that adorns our neck, and we thank you, moms. And there's one last thing that I want to thank moms for here this morning, and that is thanks for never quitting, you know? Again, I know a little bit about just from being around moms that there are days, right, Mom, where it's like, man, I'm not sure I can make it another week. Being a mom is hard, you know, I'm just going on and how. I just want to thank you for always sticking out, never quitting. And some moms have uniquely difficult situations and still never quitting, still getting up every day in some of the most difficult situations. And so I want to share one more story with you. And I'm going to ask Christine Devine from House of Refuge to come on forward. So would you give Christine a big hand? Hi, Christine. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Good to see you. Absolutely. So Christine is with House of Refuge, which is located on the ASU East campus, about 85 homes there. And maybe you could tell the folks a little bit, Christine, about just the purpose and mission of House of Refuge.
Okay. Well, good morning, first of all, and happy Mother's Day, and thank you for having me. House of Refuge, as you said, has the 85 homes that are available for families as well as individuals that are in crisis. Majority of them in crisis are because of domestic violence, and they can find refuge and supportive services at House of Refuge for up to 2 years, which is just a wonderful program. And with that, they have to work and they have to, or go to school for a minimum of 32 hours. They have to be drug-free and alcohol-free. It's a faith-based organization, nonprofit, and it's just terrific.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about just the scope of the ministry, about how many moms and kids are in the program on the campus right now?
Okay. We probably have about 71 moms right now and 135 precious children. Mm-hmm. And that changes, you know, obviously the numbers fluctuate up and down, but mm-hmm. right now you'll always see anywhere from 135 to 150 kids on the campus.
So I'd imagine these moms, these 71 moms that are there right now, uniquely difficult situations, and really you know, being faithful every day in those situations are difficult. But can you tell us maybe one or two success stories of moms that have been through that program, come out on the other end healthy? Mm-hmm.
There are some. There are some mamas that truly do get it and have that fire in their belly to make a difference. And Donna was one. She came to us from domestic violence. She came to us with one child. She had already lost three of her children, lost custody of three of her children. And so she was in a pretty bad place. She went back to school. She learned. She got her insurance license. She now successfully works. And the best, most wonderful thing I can tell you is she now has joint custody of her other three children. So imagine her Mother's Day.
Yeah.
She fought.
Yeah, very good. And there was maybe another one that you had that you wanted to share with us, another success story?
You know, there was. There's a young lady. Again, you know, you hear this over and over, the common thread of domestic violence. She's a young mom and, you know, didn't really have an education or sources for a lot of things. She's gone on to go to Apollo College. She works in the home health care medical industry. And the best part is that she's learned how to believe in herself, and she's going to continue her schooling and become a registered nurse.
Fantastic. Great success stories. And yeah, let's give those moms a hand. How about, you have a lot of moms in there, and I know that they come into this, and it's a very distressed situation when they escape from the domestic violence or the homelessness, and so they come in with very little. What would you say would be the biggest need that you have there right now on campus?
Well, sure. If you can visualize when they arrive, they usually have a sack and the clothes on their back and kids in tow. And they're given a two-bedroom, one bath, but it is completely, completely vacant, devoid of anything. And we're dependent upon the community for donations. And the biggest one over and over is the beds. There's just a huge need for beds. Right now, a couple days ago, we did get a teenager off the pallets of the floor and onto a bed, and we're waiting for her parents to no longer sleep on the sofa, but to have a bed. We have 10 families right now, quite frankly, that need beds. They're sleeping on blankets on the floor or sleeping bags. They're safe. They're away from their abuser, but it's quite difficult. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, you know, when we were thinking about preparing for Mother's Day, we were really thinking about the moms of SSCC, and we were thinking, you know, every year we do something, right? We give you a flower or a candle or something, and, you know, the candle burns out and the flower fades. And we were really thinking about the heart of moms. And moms, you're always putting other people before yourselves. And we really thought about the heartbeat of this church to really do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. So we thought that the best way that we could really honor you, moms of SSCC, is on your behalf, on behalf of the mothers of SSCC, we are going to provide, and actually they're already being delivered this week, beds, new beds for every mom and child that doesn't have a bed in the House of Refuge. And so,
thank you guys.
Thank you
very much. And I do have to tell you one thing that I forgot to mention at the last service. One of the most beautiful things is that they arrive with nothing, but when they graduate from the program and they move out, every one of your generous donations, they get to take with them to set up for their new house. So how wonderful is that? Do you have a legacy in your gift? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Christine, we thank you so much for your fighting and standing up and defending the defenseless and being a voice for the voiceless. And we want to join you in that. Thank you. Thank you so much. And moms, I hope that you on behalf of you, that you treasure that gift that you've given to these moms. They will very much appreciate it. We really want to honor you, moms. We want you to know that you've been so faithful and so loving. And moms, when you're going through your day and it seems like you're not making any headway, I hope you remember this. We're watching and we're catching it from you, and we're learning grace and mercy and compassion and love and on. And we honor you, Mom. We thank you. So would you pray with me? Father, you have blessed us in so many ways. First and foremost with Jesus Christ, who would come and die for our sins and rise from the dead. Lord, we thank you for the risen Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for moms. Lord, we thank you for their blessing. They're teaching us in so many ways. Lord, I pray for each mom here, Lord, that they leave here encouraged, strengthened to continue on for another day, another week, another month, another year, Lord, to be faithful to the task of being a mom. And may they know that what they're doing is deeply spiritual and deeply significant. And they're teaching the world. And their teaching is a treasure that adorns our neck. Father, bless them with the assurance that they're making a difference. We pray in Jesus' name, and all in agreement said.